Samson, who was Rambo, turns into Dirty Harry. And he's gonna go after him. He is so mad. He is going to take revenge. Now there's a bounty on his head. He killed a bunch of people, and now they send a SWAT team to go get him. 3,000 Philistines. And one of his own people turn him in to the Philistine SWAT team.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Just a wild guess here, but I'm betting you didn't even know that the Philistines had a SWAT team. Well, must be true. Pastor Wayne said so. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to teach us some lessons from the life of Samson. I think you might find that there's a little bit of Samson in all of us. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Samson, Lessons from the Past.
Today we're going to reach back in time and get a lesson from the past. You know, from the current experiences that you'll have, you'll not be able to garner enough wisdom in order for you to be the father, the uncle, the mother, the grandparent, the son, the daughter that we need to be in a society with changing mores and changing values and changing morals. How do we stand as an anchor in the midst of a changing ocean? We don't have enough enough wisdom from just the personal experiences we go through to have what it takes to be that man, that woman, that employer, that employee that we really need to be. So one of the ways that you gain wisdom is through, surely, personal experience. But another is through other people's experiences, where they go through an experience that's a suffering or a trial and they learn something. And through their testimony, you gain their wisdom. You understand and hear. You hear what they have to say. So you don't have to take the season, the 3 years, 5 years of pain to gain their wisdom, except that you hear it through their instruction and you deposit that wisdom, that insight that they gain, they share it with you, you learn from them. And God has taken a book and placed in that book the lives, the raw, unedited version, lives of men and women of the past. In each of these lessons, in each of these lives, there are 1, 2, 3, a dozen gems of wisdom waiting for us to receive. God not only put them in a book, He then put His stamp of approval on it and said, I will inspire these, and if you'll go into it and grab these gems of wisdom and obey it, I will put my stamp of approval and I inspire it into your life. I'll breathe it alive. So if you will go to this book called the Bible and read it and obey it, you will gain the wisdom of the ages. Wisdom beyond your experience. Wisdom beyond your lifetime. I will be able to give you wisdom from the past. And you'll need to obey it, though, and then it'll transform you. The word Bible is the word biblios, which is not book, it's library. That's the name of the book that we have, because it's really not one book, it's 66 books filled with men and women's lives, unedited, raw version, uncut, so that you can see them as they really were. And that's exactly what we're going to take a look at today. Now let's take a look at the verse at the top of our notes out of 1 Corinthians and see how God encourages us to take wisdom and lessons from the past. Let's read it. Go. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. So these things happened as an example for whom? Would you underline those words, examples for us? God actually put them in the Bible as examples for us. So today's lesson is going to be from the past. We're going to rewind our tape to the life of a man who had a problem with babes. Anything that swayed, he was attracted to it. And that's where his definition of love got confused. And it wasn't until the end of his life where you're going to find out that he's going to lose both eyes. He'll be blinded. Doesn't happen until the end of his life when he's minus two eyeballs that he comes to the understanding and realization that what he called love was actually just simply his lack of self-control. His lack of self-control, his lack of discipline He called, oh, that's love. No, it's not love. It's your lack of self-control. And you see, that lack of discipline is going to run us into a lot of trouble. Well, I don't know. Discipline takes a lot of strength. It's kind of painful. Just discipline yourself. It'd be easier just to let yourself go. Uh-huh. There's going to be two pains in life. Would you write them down? Number one, the pain of discipline. Yeah, it's going to take a little bit of pain. But not only is there the pain of discipline, the other pain is the pain of regret. The pain of regret. See, you choose the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And out of this man's life, we're going to learn lessons out of his pain of regret. And this lesson is so pertinent to our lives today because we struggle with the same issues. I mean, I'm amazed at the stuff on the magazine racks. I go to the checkout counter and they're just there with all of these blazing headlines about sex and about attraction, about how to do it better, how to do this and do that and do this. And it's all just calling because that's sort of like the society. That's the stuff that sells. And then you turn on the radio and every song about defining love, I mean, it's just from soup to nuts, a definition of love. All the way back to in the past, where it's kind of like a cure-all for everything. The Beatles sang, all you need is love. Love is all you need. And then it's sort of like something you do when you get bored, you know. When you're caught between the moon and New York City, the only thing you can do is fall in love. And you think, what? That's right. And then someone says, well, you know, hey, listen, it's kind of like a junk and pole game. If you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you with. Huh? And then the carpenter just say, forget it all. I'll never fall in love again. Whoa, who was it? I think the words is Michael Bolton. He sings a song. I told you that I loved you. But I lied. I thought, you turkey? You know, love can be the most divine, the most blissful, the most exhilarating experience of life. Or it can be the most painful, the most disheartening, the most aggravating ordeal you've ever survived. Isn't that right? Don't look at the person on your left or your right. Just look straight ahead. I mean, it can bring happiness to you or steal happiness right from you. Country Western fans know that. I mean, you know, all the song Country Western, you know. I lost my wife. I lost my horse. I lost my money. I lost my job. The old saying goes, what do you do when you take a Country Western song and play it backwards on the turntable? You get your wife back, your horse back, your money back. It's all gone. But isn't it true? Love, like an ocean, in its place, it's peaceful and a placid picture of beauty. But out of its place, it's like a fierce tidal wave and taking its toll on hundreds and hundreds of lives. And love is like that. Love out of place. Love that's broken. Love that's spoiled. Love that's misdefined. Can have the same effects where our landscape now is riddled with broken hearts and broken relationships and broken families. Love can go bad. Love can be bartered for lust. Love can be substituted and defined as love, which is really just a lack of self-control. And that which could have been a treasure that could have lasted a lifetime can be auctioned off for the pennies of what I must have tonight. And sometimes we jump into a relationship only to move it too quickly because of a lack of self-control. Now, it could have been a wonderful treasure, but because we had to do it now, get it together now, what happens is character, maturity, discipline, all of the wonderful character qualities of perseverance and loyalty did not have time to build because we want it now. And so the relationship is cemented, but the character is yet to be formulated. And so 8 years down the road, everything, all the bricks start to fall. What could have been a wonderful treasure is substituted for the pennies of what I must have right now. And the Bible foresaw the misuse of love and the misdefining of love. So it leaves us lessons from the past through the life of a man named Samson. Now, Samson is sort of like a modern day Rambo. He's known for his strength, but he's going to teach us more about life through his weakness. And his weakness? Women. I mean, anything that wore a skirt, he was attracted to it. I mean to tell you, like a bug to a light, like a dog to a bone, like hot to wasabi, like stink to ham ha, he was there. And he was especially drawn to foreign women, like Philistine women. You see, the Philistines at this time had conquered Israel. And in order to free up Israel again, God raised up judges, they're called. And one of those judges, you might remember the name Gideon. Or Deborah was one of those judges, as is Samson. Now, God promised Samson extraordinary strength in order to fulfill his calling if he would stay obedient and devoted to God. And so one of the reminders of this vow was something called a Nazirite vow, which simply meant he could drink no strong drink and he couldn't cut his hair. So you can imagine how long his hair would be up in buns or whatever. And so when he would take his hair down to wash, it would take him, you know, half a day to wash his hair and blow dry it and curl. I don't know what he had to do with it. But all the while, this length of time to just maintain and care for his hair, it would be a due reminder of the vow, the Nazirite vow, to stay obedient and devoted to God. And in exchange, God would give him great strength so that he could free Israel from the oppression of the Philistines. Now, the lessons from the past begins in Judges 13, where he's born, and he's born to wonderful, wonderful parents. As he grows up, all of a sudden, just boop, 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 he just starts getting super strong. And then once a lion attacked him, poo, poo, couple of whacks, and that thing is dead. And then, I mean, this guy can like bend bars of steel with his bare hands. He's faster than a speeding bullet. He can take off his shirt, you know, in a phone booth, and he looks like a nuclear gecko. You know, just abs of steel. I'd show you, but this is church, and I don't know. One day, he's down in southwest of Jerusalem in this place called Timnah. He's working out in 24-hour fitness, and he's looking good. And he sees this Philistine babe. I guess she was in aerobics class or something, you know, and they kind of get attracted to one another. And so he quickly goes home and says, I found the one I'm going to marry. I want to marry this woman. And the parents say, whoa, slow down, Samson. He says, I want her and I want her now. And he plans to marry her against the counsel of his parents, but forces his parents, pushes this marriage through. And at the wedding party, now he gets married, at the wedding party, he's got about 30 of his friends. And so they're there and they're having a party and he is a gambling kind of guy. So he propounds this riddle and he says this riddle to the guys and he says, if you can figure out this riddle, I'll give each of you a new wardrobe of clothes. How's that? Woo, they said. So they get together and this feast goes on like for a week. And so they're trying to figure out the riddle and they can't figure it out. So they go to Samson's brand new wife and in a ploy, they get the answer out of her. So one day he says, did you get it? And the last day, did you get it? And they said, we got it. And they share the answer to this riddle. And he gets really mad. He looks over at his wife and he said, you got it from her. Well, you lost. You didn't say that there were certain ground rules. Man, we got the answer. Now you got to get us our changes of clothes. He's so mad. And he says, if you wouldn't have, and he says it really cool. He says, if you hadn't have plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have gotten the answer. And I said, well, plowed with my heifer? You know, that's kind of cool. I guess they talk that way. You plowed with my heifer. Well, he's just steaming mad. And so he goes out, and in order to give these guys 30 changes of clothes, you know what he does? He kills 30 Philistines, takes their clothes off them, leaves them in their bibbidis, and takes these clothes and gives them to the 30 guys. There's your clothes. Well, now he's a mass murderer of 30 people. So he's got a problem with gambling, and then he's got a problem with anger. Now he's on the most wanted list. And there's a bounty on his head for murder, and things go from bad to worse. And before I tell you how bad it gets, if Samson could come up on this platform and speak from the past, this is what he would say. And he would say, I tell you, this will save you a lot of problems, save you a lot of years. Here it is. Number one, would you write in? Samson would say, listen to godly counsel. Because I didn't. Listen to godly counsel. I didn't, and it got me in the trouble. It started with the counsel that I refused from my father and mother. Let's read what it says here. Go. He came back and told his father and mother, I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your own relatives or among our own people that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she looks good to me. Just get her for me. She looks good. She's a babe. And then Samson, please, please don't. Get her. I want her. I want her now. And you see, he's blinded by his desire and craved for this relationship. And he kept pursuing until his parents gave in. So they finally said, all right, well, if you want, just do it. You see, here's another thing he would say. Would you write in your notes, be careful what you crave. Be careful what you crave. If you have to have something, we'll have a tendency to forfeit anything for it. The treasure of a lifetime for the pennies of right now. Something that will be quickly broken and destroyed and tossed aside for something that was much more eternal, relationships. It's so easy to make that exchange, and it all is because of a craving. Be careful what you crave for. And that's what happened with Samson. And that can happen with every single one of us. Those of you that are still under the care of your parents, please remember this. There's going to be sometimes, as Samson so example to us, that parents will have an intuitive sense of looming dangers ahead. And they can't quite put their finger on it. But be careful what you crave for, because if you push them enough, they might acquiesce out of frustration. Yeah, okay, do it. Go, you want to do that? Go, do it. Who cares? Go. But there's a big difference between your parents giving you permission, your parents giving you their blessings. Because you see, you can push parents hard enough. What, Dad? Come on. No, I want you home by 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, Dad? Come on. This is the 21st century. Come on. And I'm an adult. Whatever. Chill. No, I think you need to be home at this time. Come on, Dad, the party's just getting going. No, I just really sense you need to be home. Come on, Dad, come on, this is 21st century, come on. You want to do that then? Go do it. Go, I don't care. Oh, praise the Lord, my father gave me permission. I can stay out all night. Yeah, he may have given you his permission, but he didn't give you his blessings. You understand the difference? Because sometimes parents don't know, but there's an intuitive sense. I bet a lot of the problems in our youth today is because not a parental permission or a blessing, but parents acquiescing out of frustration, exasperation, saying, just do it then. And you see, sometimes if you crave for something enough, you can get people to say, okay. Yeah, you could. You just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. But it may be the worst thing in the world for you. Someone said there's two sorrows in life. One is to not get what you crave for, and the other is to get it. Be careful what you crave for. That's exactly what happened with the Israelites in the Old Testament. Let's read Psalm 106, the first scripture there under that bullet. Go. They craved exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. You see that? You want it bad enough? Here, have it. But what was the exchange? They got what they craved for, but they lost their soul. There was a shrinking heart. There was on the inside a barrenness. Oh, I got what I wanted, but it's barren. It's fruitless. And God is saying, oh, you might weasel out of God permission or parents permission or whatever, out of a counselor permission, but you want to go for the blessing of the Lord, because that's the treasure, the blessing not the acquiescence of the blessing of the Lord. In fact, let's read what it says in Proverbs 10. Go. The blessings of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Isn't that nice? That's the blessing of the Lord. Well, now Samson has a price on his head. There's a bounty out for him because he kills 30. Now, things go from bad to worse. After he gives the change of clothes to these 30 guys for having lost the bet because they plowed with his heifer. So he gets these clothes. And then, because he kills 30 Philistines, it took him a little bit of time. By the time he comes back to give him the clothes, his wife, brand new wife, runs off with one of his buddies. Can you believe that? And decides to annul the marriage with Samson and wants to marry this other guy. So she runs back to her home to take refuge with her father. Well, this makes Samson so mad that this happened. He goes out and burns a bunch of farms where all of these guys were living. He burns all of these fields. He's so mad. Now, in retaliation to Samson doing this, they find this woman and her father and they kill them both. The Philistines do this. Now, Samson, who was Rambo, turns into Dirty Harry. And he's going to go after him. He is so mad. He is going to take revenge. And so, now there's a bounty on his head. He killed a bunch of people, burned a bunch of farms, and now they send a SWAT team to go get him. 3,000 Philistines. And one of his own people find his whereabouts, turn him in to the Philistine SWAT team for the bounty. So you have 3,000 Philistine SWAT teams merging in, closing in on one guy. They jump out and ambush him. 3,000 now. Samson is unarmed. And these guys are, ah, and he looks around for anything. And he sees a dead donkey. He grabs a bone from this donkey's carcass, the jaw with teeth on it, and starts wailing on these guys. Kills like 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. The others, after he kills them, they run off. And 1,000 of them are dead, teeth marks all over their heads, you know, and stuff. And now he is really on the All Points Bulletin most wanted list. Now, you figure one guy killing 1,000 people with a bone. You know, I mean, he did not take a self-defense class using spare bones to protect yourself kind of thing. No, no, no. You know what? It wasn't his ability. It was God's grace that kept him from getting killed. I don't care how strong you are. You cannot take a bone and say, I'll hurt you if you come near me to 1,000 people. No, no. What he doesn't realize that it wasn't his strength, it was God's grace that kept him from getting killed. I want to say something about God's grace. You see, sometimes we're going to do something wrong like Samson did and the retaliation happens. And just due to our sin, we get into trouble. And sometimes you don't get caught. You don't get killed. You don't get thrown in jail. Something you steal or you cheat or you lie or you do this or you shyster that. And you don't get caught. And you think, hey, I didn't get caught. Nobody found out. Yeah, it's cool. You know, just in God's scheme of things, God might be saying it was my grace that kept you from getting nailed and getting thrown into prison for a few years. It's my grace so that keeps you with your family or keeps you in graces with your friends or your job. My grace withheld the consequences of your sin because the wages of sin is death. And so I'm by my grace, not your strength, not by how cool you are, not by how cunning you are. It was my grace that withstood the consequences of your act. And instead of us falling on our knees saying, Lord, thank you for your grace and changing because he gave me another chance, sometimes we use it as a rationale to do it again. Hey, listen, I didn't get caught. I'll just do it again and again and again and again. And it's then when we don't steward the grace of God well, but we use it as a rationale, as an excuse to continue in that kind of behavior, it's then that the Lord will pull His hand back and all the bricks will fall in.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Samson, Lessons from the Past. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. And until this same time next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.